I'm Mimi Rosenberg.
I'm Ken Nash.
We're Building Bridges. The 8th anniversary of the beginning of the Saudi-led coalition's bombing of Yemen. A coalition of U.S. and international groups led by Action Corp and Peace Action rallied to inspire and enhance education and activism to end the war in Yemen.
Now we bring you highlights of the rally and open with U.S. Senator Elizabeth Warren, who sent a letter to President Biden regarding the Saudi-led coalition's use of blockade tactics in Yemen that have prevented food, medicine, and other crucial supplies from reaching millions.
Senator Warren has been in the lead urging President Biden to take immediate and decisive action to leverage all U.S. influence and tools to pressure Saudi Arabia to unconditionally and immediately end its blockade tactics and our involvement in the Yemen war. Now, Senator Elizabeth Warren.
I'm glad to be here with you at today's rally. We must bring the war in Yemen to an end. As we mark the 8th anniversary of the war in Yemen, we also mark the deaths and injuries of nearly 20,000 civilians, the displacement of millions of people, and a vast, horrific humanitarian and food insecurity crisis. Too often, civilians are caught in the crosshairs of conflict and suffer. While it was important progress for the Biden administration to end U.S. support for Saudi offensive operations in Yemen and to suspend two Saudi arms sales, we can't stop there. We have to push further and bring an end to all blockades that prevent humanitarian aid. I've been glad to support efforts in Congress to end U.S. involvement in the war in Yemen, and I will continue to look for ways that we can be supportive in ending this conflict and ending the suffering of the Yemeni people. Iran and Saudi Arabia resuming diplomatic relations may have created a new path for peace. Leadership of organizations like yours are so important in bringing this conflict to an end. And I am glad that you are in this fight as we keep working to end this tragedy.
I love hearing her speak. She's so forceful and really an incredible advocate. And I'm looking forward to continuing the work with Senator Warren. Another one of my favorite representatives, Representative Ro Khanna. He has been our Yemen War Powers champ for a long time, and right now represents California's 17th congressional district, located at the heart of Silicon Valley, and is right now in his fourth term. His leadership on the WPR and helped produce bipartisan majorities in the House and Senate that got the first Yemen War Powers resolution over the threshold of passage through both chambers. That was really important, and a lot of the work we're doing right now builds on that previous activism that Representative Ro Khanna had such a huge role.
Thank you to Peace Action for holding today's event and to all the groups that have been working so hard to end the brutal war in Yemen. We now have 8 years of this war, and the United States unfortunately was complicit. We provided the Saudis with refueling and parts that facilitated their bombing of Yemen. I was proud of Senator Sanders to lead the first War Powers Resolution that passed in 2019 to stop the U.S. involvement in Yemen. That led to President Trump voluntarily stopping the refueling, and President Biden then ended any U.S. involvement officially in the refueling of those planes and in offensive weapons for the Saudis. But the war continues. The Saudis must lift the blockade that is not allowing critical humanitarian aid, critical goods and services into Yemen. The Saudis must stop the bombing in Yemen. And we, of course, need the Houthis to stop bombing as well in a ceasefire. I will continue to fight to end this war, to end any U.S. involvement in the war, and to push for the lifting of the blockade. Thank you for your work over the years. This is one of the biggest humanitarian crises, and I appreciate what you're doing to bring the war to an end.
Thank you so much to Rep. Khanna for those remarks. I am going to introduce Rep. Ilhan Omar. She represents Minnesota's 5th Congressional District in the U.S. House of Representatives. Rep. Omar was sworn into office in January 2019, making her the first African refugee to become a member of Congress. The first woman of color to represent Minnesota and one of the first two Muslim American women elected to Congress. And she's been a tireless advocate for ending U.S. complicity in the war in Yemen. She has supported action to end the Saudi blockade on Yemen. She's been an advocate for reasserting congressional war powers and reining in the imperial executive branch. And she's been working to end U.S. participation in weapon sales in the Saudi-led war. And Rep. Omar, I am thrilled to introduce you.
It's now been over 7 years since the war in Yemen started. This horrific conflict has sparked the worst human rights crisis in the world, with hundreds of thousands of civilians killed and more than 11 million children still in need of humanitarian assistance. It is encouraging that the ceasefire brokered in April of last year has by and large held. And the recently announced diplomatic deal between Saudi Arabia and Iran presents an opportunity for an end to the conflict. But sadly, we have a long way towards a truly peaceful and stable Yemen. We know that without justice, there can never be peace. And the path to justice lies in the accountability for the crimes committed and the United States' own role in the conflict. Make no mistake, there must be consequences for any war crimes, for any atrocities, and any targeting of civilians in this war. And that's why I recently led a letter calling for the United States to support a UN investigation into the atrocities committed during the conflict, including by the US-backed Saudi-led coalition. It is also critical that we deliver aid to the Yemeni people. 2/3 of the population is still in need of assistance, and many of the countries who actively participated in destabilizing the country are now leaving its people to suffer. More broadly, we must create a lasting, more permanent ceasefire to formally put an end to this war and act as an even-handed broker of a lasting peace rather than a participant in a war. The path to peace will be long and difficult in Yemen, but it starts with accountability. Again, thank you all for your advocacy, for making sure people here in the United States and around the world understand what's happening in Yemen, and for having the care and concern for the Yemeni people. I don't know how many of you know that my mother's family comes from Yemen, and many of them left when the civil war in Somalia happened to go to Yemen, and unfortunately had to come back to Somalia to escape the war in Yemen. And so this cycle for so many people is real, it's painful, and for me it's personal. So I really do appreciate everyone for advocating for not just the peaceful solution to this conflict, but for accountability and for assistance.
Thank you, Rep. Omar. We really appreciate that, all your words and all your advocacy. And with that, I want to pass it to my dear friend Aisha Juman, who's going to line up the next speaker.
I'm delighted to be presenting now Reverend Liz Theo Harris. My heart always is warm when I see people of faith stand up for what is right. So thank you, Dr. Liz Theo Harris. The Reverend Dr. Liz Theo Harris is the director of the Curious Center for Religious Rights and Social Justice at Union Theological Seminary and co-chair of the Poor People's Campaign, a national call for moral revival with the Reverend William Barber II. She is an ordained minister in the Presbyterian Church USA and teaches at Union Theological Seminary in New York. Dr. Theo Harris.
Well, thank you so much. It's an honor to be here. The war in Yemen has created one of the worst humanitarian crises in the world. 337,000 people being killed and over 16 million on the brink of famine. Staggering, more than 20 million people requiring some form of humanitarian assistance just in 2023. 80% of the country's population struggling to access food and safe drinking water and adequate healthcare services, with 4.5 million of the people being displaced in Yemen, women and children. Something that just is not tenable, just is not just, and we need peace. I think there's the basis. I think we're seeing the basis for de-escalating, ending this conflict in Yemen with the hopeful sign that Saudi Arabia and Iran have restored relations. We must apply pressure in this moment for peace. Let's use this opening to apply pressure for peace. In this moment, we must turn away from violence. We must turn away from sanctions. We must turn away from war and all ways that are bringing the life and livelihood of people, especially women and children, down. I think about a poster that was hung in my house growing up that said that war is not healthy for children and other living things. And we know this to be true. So we must be inspired. Inspired in this moment by the words of Reverend Dr. King and others who talked about a cruel manipulation of the poor. When we have war across the world, poor people fighting poor people when the rich just get richer. So in a society like the U.S. that spends more on weapons of war, that approaches spiritual death when we do so, we are calling for a moral revolution of values, a moral revival of love and truth and justice and peace. Peace, peace. We stand in solidarity with the people of Yemen. And as we say in our campaign, not forward together and not one step back. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Reverend. Incredible and beautiful remarks. My honor now to introduce Representative Rashida Tlaib. She is a well-known progressive warrior and, in her own words, a mother working for justice for all. Her two sons are at the root of her passion to help change lives for the better here in the U.S., in Palestine, in Yemen, and all over the world. She's the oldest of 14 children born and raised in Detroit and the proud daughter of Palestinian immigrant parents. Came out to meet Iman Saleh as she was doing a hunger strike on the front steps of the White House. She's always there when you need her and when you need her to speak out for human rights.
Salams, everyone. I'm Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib, and I want to thank Friends Committee on National Legislation for putting together this important event and for all of their amazing work. I am proud to be here today in solidarity with countless Yemenis here in the United States and across the globe, as we all remain strong in our fight to end the war in Yemen. The bombings of civilians, including hospitals, schools, and water treatment plants, are clearly war crimes and crimes against humanity. The United Nations has already described this as the worst humanitarian crisis, as millions of Yemeni people face famine. The United States must do more to end the air and the sea blockade into Yemen. These restrictions on aid and essential goods are killing more of the civilians than the bombs are. On my end, I am working hard to ensure that the U.S. fights to preserve the current ceasefire and expand on these hard-fought diplomatic victories wherever possible. And while I'm disappointed in the lack of action from the State Department and the Biden administration to live up to its mission to protect the Yemeni population from human rights violations, I remain hopeful that our movement in Congress to end this war is growing. I am proud that I have led 23 of my colleagues in calling for at least $1.2 billion and humanitarian assistance to Yemen in this year's budget. None of these efforts would ever be possible without the incredible activists and advocates and everyday people like yourselves fighting for Yemen. I know this has been a long road that sometimes seems like it goes forever, but we will end this war, and your continued efforts are key to that. So thank you, and again, you will always have a fighter and an advocate in the United States Congress.
Thank you, Rep. Tlaib. I want to introduce Rep. Pramila Jayapal. She was elected in 2016. She's now serving her fourth term in Congress representing Washington's 7th District. She is the first South Asian American woman elected to the U.S. House of Representatives and one of only two dozen naturalized citizens currently serving in the U.S. Congress. She has really been a champ on so many issues, chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, and we really are so grateful for her leadership. Her work on Yemen has been really tremendous. She was one of our co-sponsors last year on HJ Res 87, the Yemen War Powers Resolution on the House side. With that, we can pass it to Rep. Jayapal for her remarks.
8 years ago, Saudi Arabia's devastating war in Yemen began. I want to thank FCNL for gathering us on this occasion and for your committed and relentless advocacy to keep the cause of ending this war front and center. Today, it is still the site of the world's worst humanitarian crisis, affecting more than 22 million people. Saudi Arabia's airstrikes and air and sea blockade have cost hundreds of thousands of lives and threatened millions more with famine. Saudi airstrikes escalated in 2022, killing and injuring four times more civilians than in 2021. There are more than 17 million Yemenis living in hunger and more than 2 million children suffering from acute malnutrition and on the brink of starvation. More than 80% of the population, including more than 9 million children, lack access to safe drinking water, sanitation, and adequate health services, which has led to spikes in cholera, diphtheria, measles, and other preventable diseases. After nearly a decade of fighting, 4.5 million people are displaced, and access to health centers and schools has deteriorated. A UN-backed truce lasted from April to October of 2022 and provided brief relief from this onslaught. While Saudi airstrikes, which rely on U.S. military participation, have not resumed, the people of Yemen still live at imminent risk of violent escalation by the warring parties. And while there has been some loosening, an inhumane Saudi-led aerial and naval blockade continues to limit travel and prevent the free flow of food, fuel, and medical supplies from entering Yemen. Houthi forces have committed grave human rights violations in Yemen and launched cross-border attacks in Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates. These actions have escalated the conflict, and we fully condemn them. But violations by Houthi forces do not serve as justification for enabling Saudi-led abuses and collective punishment against civilians, which have perpetuated the conflict and will continue spurring escalation and violence. As long as the United States is providing military support to Saudi Arabia, the American people's tax dollars are helping to finance this crisis. We cannot enter the ninth year of this deadly conflict complicit in the Yemeni people's suffering. Another reality for the Yemeni people is possible, one where families and communities can live together and children can go to school, where food, fuel, and medicine can flow freely into the country, where there can once again be life in Yemen without hunger, without thirst, without the threat of falling bombs. I know that that is the dream of the millions of people of Yemen, and progressives will not let up until their dream becomes a reality.
Thank you so much, Rep. Jayapal, for those powerful remarks and for all your work on ending U.S. complicity in the Saudi-led war in Yemen. With that, I'm going to pass it on to
Kevin Martin from Peace Action jumping back in. I didn't really want to be an MC or introduce anybody until we found out that our next speaker would join us. I'm just going to say that Jeremy Corbyn is one of the most thoughtful, caring, sensitive politicians I've ever had the privilege of meeting in my career for a long time. And of course, his rejuvenation of the Labour Party when he became leader and leader of the opposition in 2015 is one of the most amazing things I've ever seen in politics. And it's been a long time since I've seen you, Jeremy, but I'm so glad you're here with us today. Thank you.
Kevin, thanks very much for that lovely introduction. And it's an absolute pleasure to be on this call. The war in Yemen is probably the worst humanitarian disaster in the world at the present time. And if you look at the numbers of conflicts that are going on around the world that are barely reported at all, you begin to wonder why. Challenging the whole narrative about Yemen, we also understand we have to challenge the whole narrative about arms sales and the notions of leadership in the world. And the amount of money that has been made by British Aerospace, BAE Systems, on sales to Saudi Arabia, but also sales to United Arab Emirates and other countries within the region. Almost 400,000 people have lost their lives in the war in Yemen. That is more than any other conflict in recent times. UK arms sales directly to Saudi Arabia run into billions, but it's also the ongoing income that British Aerospace get from Saudi Arabia for maintenance and delivery of the weapons and the war that's going on. And yet there's something slightly odd that Britain, the UK, was the pen holder for the writing of a UN ceasefire resolution at the same time as Britain was one of the biggest, if not the biggest, arms supplier to Saudi Arabia, which of course was prosecuting the war in Yemen. Additionally, Saudi Arabia consumes 23% of all US arms exports in the whole world. And so this is a massive income to the US and to British companies for the supply of weapons to Saudi Arabia, the results of which are hundreds of thousands of dead, over 20 million people affected, very large numbers of children living in desperate poverty, and wholly preventable diseases breaking out and taking further life and reducing life expectancy. The ceasefire that was eventually agreed is obviously welcome, because anything is better than the shooting and killing of people. And that ceasefire was then enhanced, I suppose is the way to put it, by the agreement reached between Iran and Saudi Arabia, which China brokered. And I welcome the fact that that agreement has happened, because it does give the opportunity and the space for a long-term peace for the people of Yemen. But what I see here is a beginning of a change in the whole concepts of what is leadership around the world. The support for a peace process in Yemen is important and is huge. But I have to say this, when you start calling for a ban on arms sales to Saudi Arabia because of the effect in Yemen, a whole lot of other forces rapidly come into play and start condemning the individual that has made that call. And so it does require some degree of political determination and strength to keep up with that demand. But a ceasefire is no more than that. It's an end to, temporarily, the shooting that's going on. That must now be followed up with a longer-term peace process in which the people of Yemen as a whole decide their own future, decide their configuration of their country, and decide its relationships with other places. But it also requires that the rest of the world rapidly provide the urgent medical, food, and technical aid that is needed in order to repair the infrastructure, prepare the education system, repair the health system, and provide Yemeni people with some hope for the future. There are Yemeni refugees all around the world. We're now putting legislation through the British Parliament which criminalizes people who attempt to enter this country by boat from France. And they are desperate people from conflicts all over the world. The lack of support for refugees from the war in Yemen, of Palestinian people, of Eritrean people, of Syrian people, of people from Libya, or indeed any other war-torn country, is an absolute disgrace. And so part of our demands must be full support for refugees coming from this war. We've got a great call here this afternoon. It's fantastic to see so many people on it, and fantastic to see that at last the issue of Yemen is beginning to come a bit more center stage. We need to ramp it up even more, a great deal, to get that long-term peace, but also develop an understanding that the colonial occupations of the past the colonial partitions of countries of the past and the way in which they were partitioned up by dividing up communities, dividing up faith groups, or indeed grabbing of natural resources is very much at the heart of this. So it does require a much better understanding of the history that have often brought about these conflicts and the way in which the arms trade does so very, very well out of all these conflicts. So I think we have to understand the power of the arms lobby, the power of the arms trade, the money that is made out of it, but also the resources, the technical resources it sucks up, which could do so much more to bring about decent healthcare around the world, environmental sustainability, and decent standards of living for all. We have to never give up on redialing the process to build a world of peace and of justice based on human rights and survival rather than the eternal search for war and conflict. And that means it's the citizens' voice, it's our voice, the voice of the peace movement that must be heard, not the voice of those that are making a great deal of money out of these conflicts through the sale of arms. Thank you very much for organising this, and thank you very much. I feel very honoured to be invited to take part in this discussion.
And you've been listening to an extraordinary forum, highlights that is, from Action Corp and Peace Action that rallied to inspire and enhance education and activism to end the war in Yemen. As we continue to push for a complete end to U.S. support for the Saudi-led war, the next weeks and months will be critical, with the U.S. Congress potentially poised to vote on a war powers resolution should current negotiations between U.S. Senator Bernie Sanders and the Biden administration fail to yield a successful outcome. Our advocacy, our activism to stop the war in Yemen is extremely timely. So we want to remind that now is the time not to move into a ninth year of complicity with Saudi Arabia, enabling them to bomb and blockade Yemen. Stop the war in Yemen now. Tell your representatives, stop the war now. Use every tool at our disposal to stop the blockade in place in Yemen. I'm Mimi Rosenberg.
I'm Ken Nash.
And we build bridges. Thank you for listening.